Thank you, Bob. And good morning. You have to excuse my voice. I'm getting over a slight case of the pneumonia. It was very slight, very slight. We had a very busy week this week. Gail had an accident on Wednesday afternoon on Heather and Oak, right by where the Templetons used to live. As a matter of fact, it was Chuck Shelton that sort of ran into her, not failing to stop at a stop sign. That's her second accident on Heather, so she's saying she's going to refuse to drive on Heather anymore. We took it to the auto place, Collision Platinum, and they said it's going to take about 3 weeks at least before we even look at it, because there's so many accidents because of the snowstorms we've had the last 3 weekends. And deer running into cars as well, as cars running into deers. And the bumper was halfway off in the front, and so the police officer just pulled the bumper off all the way and tried to put it in her car and couldn't. So she called me up with my little Honda Fit that they couldn't get this big bumper into the big car. Can you come with this little bitty car and pick up this big bumper? And yes, of course, it fit in the Fit, because that's what Honda Fits are made for. And then we took it to the auto repair, and then after the auto repair, I said, I'm just not feeling quite well. I'll go to the doctor and just drop in and get a prescription of prednisone and an antibiotic, and I'll be fine, because I get this every time of the year. And they were busy and said, can you come back at 2:30? And I said, okay. And I went home, and I go, nah, I think I'll go to my asthma doctor. And I went to him, and looked at me, and he said, you need to get a chest x-ray. I think you might have a walking pneumonia, they used to call it in the old days, where you still get around and do everything. So he said, I'll call in the prescriptions and everything. And I said, oh, good. Maybe I won't even go get the chest x-ray, you know, just go. Then I said, and now I feel bad because he called it in. So I went to the hospital, and because he had called, there were like tons of people in the waiting room, and I got in like 15 minutes ahead of all these other people. But then they wanted to keep me there, so I was there from 11:30 until 6 o'clock. And all I got was two Tylenols, an antibiotic shot, and a nurse practicing puncturing my hand 7 times trying to find a vein. Before finally she listened to what I said, that it has to be in the left arm up high. That's the only place you can get it. And they usually use a butterfly needle. She goes, well, we don't have butterfly needles. Oh, too bad. Doctor's offices do, but hospitals don't. So I had to sign a waiver that I would not stay. They wanted me to stay overnight so I could rest. And you know about rest in the hospital, how they come and check on you every 2 hours. So I went home and I was fine, and I'm feeling much better. I always felt like I was at about 20% on Thursday, and then on Friday I felt like I was at about 50, 60%, and today I feel like I'm at about 75, 80%. So if you bear with my voice, that's why. And if a special prayer for our little grandson, Theo, who's suffering. He's been to the emergency room 4 times, and finally they admitted him. He's got pneumonia and some blockage in his colon, and then he's also got something in his blood, but they're not sure, and they kept him overnight. So Gail's up there with them. So just a short prayer this morning for my family. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we pray for Gabe and Jamie and their children and their colds and the pneumonia, and for little Theo, that you would help him endure his night and days at the hospital, that you would be with the family, you would surround them with your love, your care, your healing hand might be upon them. Give the doctors and nurses wisdom and knowledge as they treat. And this morning, as we look at your word, we ask a blessing upon it, and that it go forth from this building with the people here who you love and care for so much. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was working on my sermon before I started getting sick, I thought of the title being Thanksgiving and Reconciliation. And then I said, well, I need to shorten it, so I don't want to write out paper to hand out to you that most of you won't follow, and then it'll get lost somewhere. But today's scripture is going to be from 2 Corinthians 5:11, 6 through 2, and it's the ESV version. And if you don't have one, there's some on the side, and it's on page 966 where you start, and you can help yourself to it. Now, I'm going to do like they do in some movies where they give you the ending first. The ending first is LRBC. So you know how you go home after the sermon, they say, well, what was the sermon about? Well, now you know it was about LRBC. Well, yeah, that's easy to remember, Lake Region Bible Church. Well, yes, sort of. The first thing is about what the worship team sang about, love, God's love. Love. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:11 through 6 to first. I'm sorry. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God. And I hope it is also known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about our outward appearance, and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might live, no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. For he says, yes. That's it. That's where I went in, 6-2. Excuse me, I'll keep my throat moist so I won't irritate you too much. When we talk about love, I want to tell you about a love story. And this takes place in Paris, France. There's a pedestrian bridge. And everybody knows what a padlock is. Well, they have this tradition in Paris, this one pedestrian bridge, that if you go to that bridge, then you put your initials and your partner's or your wife's or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever on there, and you lock that padlock on the bridge, and you throw the key in the Seine River underneath, and then you're supposed to stay together forever. But love, all those locks, all those years started to weigh on the bridge. As a matter of fact, in June of 2015, the weight had been 45 tons of locks were weighing on the bridge, and they were worried about that. So how much does your padlock for God weigh? For your spouse? For someone in your family? How much does it weigh? How much do you care about it? And when talking about this weight, they had to have special equipment come in and remove the weights, remove all the locks, cut them all off, catch them so they wouldn't all fall into the river, and remove them and take them away and try to stop people from doing it. But still, some people to this very day still do that on this bridge. But of course, that weight is not up to what it was before. So we know that love with a padlock cannot be kept. But we know that love from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can be kept. And we know that the only way to keep love is by giving it away. God gave us His Son. He gave away His only begotten Son. So when you think of I love someone, you're thinking of I'm giving it away to that person. I'm giving love. And we know that in families, oftentimes, there might be an argument between a spouse or siblings or other relatives, and they simply don't get along, and they have arguments for long periods of time or disputes. They become like the Hatfields and the McCoy. So what is love? What is love? Well, love is being able to forget and to forgive. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon Him shall be saved by confessing their sins and putting their trust, faith, and confidence in Him. That's what love is. Who do you put your faith and trust and confidence in? Not in man, not in woman, not in governments, but in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Almighty God. So, the first point today is love. So you remember the L for love. And you remember the summary that we said, LRBC, what the whole thing was about. So who do you love and how much do you love the Lord? And when's the last time you told Him, Lord, I love You for all the things You've done this past year in 2016 and all the things that You will do in 2017. I love You, Lord, with all my heart. Number two, reconciliation. Oh, Psalm 106:1 tells us again about love. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And how long is forever? It's all the days you can think of, and then one day more, and one day more, and one day more. And those math people, you know, they appreciate that infinity. It goes on and on, and it never ends. That's a steadfast love. Reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:11 through 15. Let's just look at those verses again, just for a moment. Therefore, and Harold Templeton used to always say, when you ever see a therefore, ask it what it's there for. About knowing the fear of the Lord. Do we know the fear of the Lord? If we know the fear of the Lord, we are persuaded by others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. He died for all. He died for the communists. He died for the atheists. He died for the unbelievers. He died for all of us, for all of our sins. His love is so great. Our love is like the weight of those padlocks weighing that bridge down in Paris, that they had to be cut off and those keys had to be thrown away. And I wondered if they did a survey how many of those people were still together that had put those initials on those locks. Like I always think, if you go to a wedding, you know, and then if the people break up or something, then you ought to be able to get your wedding gift back. My wife says, stop it, don't say that in the service. I said, yeah, I'm going to say that. I think there ought to be a refund, you know. They have a list, you know. They have a list at the stores of what they want, you know. You ought to leave your name in case they break up. Then they can get send it back and get what you want. This is what I would have gotten for myself. Just think about it. Reconciling. Talking about us. And I used one of Pastor's commentaries, and I was looking at something that really, it struck awe in me, and I want to share this with you. Because we always say, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son to take on the sins of the whole world. Not just the Christians that become believers, but the sins of the whole world, and giving everyone the opportunity, the choice to become a believer. So I'll read this to you. Only when Christ's death as a sinless one was seen as an atonement sacrifice for our sin does it become clear why God is able not to count his people's sin against them without compromising his own integrity and justice. So God's integrity and justice says, I can't accept anyone that's not perfect. But we're sinners, and we fall short. But Christ died for our sins, all the ones we ever did and all the ones we might ever do. And that makes it possible for God's integrity not to be compromised. But here's the part I really want you to listen to. As a result of Christ's death, not only does Christ take on our sins, we take on his righteousness. We always talk about Christ taking on our sins. We don't talk about Christ, that we take on Christ's righteousness so we can come before the Lord. Because we're not righteous enough to come. Even now, we still sin and we ask for forgiveness. We're not completely there yet, but we're still working on it day by day. We're not as bad as we used to be, but we're not as good as we could be. So the Lord's still working on me. I think there's a song about that, making me like I ought to be. And that's what we mean about reconciling us to God. And so when you think about that, he's taking forgiving us for our sins and taking on our sins, but think about in terms of righteousness, that we've taken on some of his righteousness. And I bet often we don't think about, oh yeah, I got some of Christ's righteousness. But it's nothing to brag and boast about. But it is something that is important to come to the Lord with when we sin and fall short and ask for forgiveness. So reconciliation. And why? Because in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20, if we look at that again, remember LRBC, love, reconciliation. Because from now on, therefore, another therefore, regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusted them to us, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. We are his ambassadors. In 19 days, we're going to have a new president that will be sworn into the office of the United States 45th president. He has appointed people to be ambassadors for various countries. And those people will serve. We have been appointed to be ambassadors for our God Almighty by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are his ambassadors. And when we step out and act, people are looking at us and watching and weighing and saying, that's an ambassador for Christ? Is that what it is? I don't know if I really want to be like that. But we are his ambassadors, and we have been forgiven of all our sins, and we will be like him because we have taken on some of his righteousness. And because Christ first loved us, long before we ever knew him. God knew where we would be born, knew who we would marry, even though we may have dated someone else or looked at someone else. And God knew, nah, that's not the one. This is the one over here that I have for you. And he led and guided and directed you to that point. And it's hard sometimes. This morning I think of a family here whose daughter's not here. She's in Alaska right now. Because the Lord has led her there. Because he has plans for her. He has plans for us. And we can accept his plans or we can reject his plans. It's up to us. We have that freedom of choice, but we've taken on some of that righteousness of his. Because, so love, reconciliation, and because he first loved us. And also Psalm 23:6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What would you want following you down the street? Goodness and mercy. You ever drive down the street and then somebody's tailgating you? And you just get so angry and you want to slam on your brakes. And you know that's not the right thing to do, but you think about it. Or maybe you're one of those people that tailgate a lot of other people. And your spouse says to you, do you have to get so close? Well, when you're sitting in the passenger seat, you have a different angle than the driver has. So it always looks a little closer than it is. Now, women are actually better, safer drivers than men.
Amen.
And the insurance companies know that, and they give lower rates for women. Men are faster drivers. They get in more accidents. They think they're better drivers, but they're not. And your insurance policies will prove that out. So just think of the love and care that you have and that you want. Because God so loved you. Because God so loved you, he picked the right person for you. And if you're thinking about a person, praying about it, take it to the Lord in prayer and saying, show me the person you want me to marry that you have planned for me. Show me how I can be a better spouse. show me how I can be better at not cluttering up so much. That's one of my New Year's goals, to clean up my clutter, as our kids say to us often, and you've heard me say it before. Guys, clean up the basement before you die. We don't want to be stuck with that job. Please. So they say that to us all the time. It's really, really encouraging when your kids come to visit and they tell you that. And then you look and half the stuff in the basement is still theirs. They haven't taken with them, but, you know, they don't want to throw it out. And number four, Christ on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we might become the righteousness of God. Remember when Satan took Jesus up on the mountain and said, you can have all of this. It can all be yours. But what should it profit a man if he inherits the whole world but loses his soul? Our soul belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ if we've accepted him as Lord, Master, and Savior in our lives. And there's nothing that can surpass that. We think that we need things or want things, but we don't. When I was a child, my nephew Paul, you know Paul and his daughter Brianna, Paul would come over. Paul would call my mom every day. My mom was a big Cubs fan. Sorry she wasn't around to see him win the championship. But she was a tremendous Cub fan, and he would watch the Cubs with her and call every day. And he would come over, and he would always open the refrigerator and said, Grandma, you don't have anything to eat. And she said, boy, be quiet. You're not hungry. You just have a taste for food. If you were hungry, you'd get some of this out of there or some of that out of there. There's lots of food in there. There's just not something you want to eat in there. So that's how it is with us. We have a taste for something, but it's not always what God wants us to have a taste for. God wants us to recognize the sacrifice that was made by Christ's death on the cross. So I've made this short for two reasons. Number one, the Bears play today, and maybe they'll win a game. There's always a chance of a miracle. But number two, I want to talk about just the appreciation that we have for the families in this church and the things that they do, starting with our pastor and his wife and family. We really appreciate them. We would like to be able to do more for them, but we do what God allows us to do, and we pray for them. And I ask you to pray for them and for other families in the church. And also, when I think of the Velos, they're now empty nesters, just like us. But don't worry, soon they'll come back with grandchildren, and then you'll be babysitters, or you'll be flying out to meet them, or driving out, or whatever, so that won't end. And Lizzie's little one there, you know, last Sunday, Christmas, that baby got past about 20 people. I'm telling you, that child just gets no attention whatsoever. No attention. But remembering the sermon today, I just want you to remember LRBC, because that's what this church is all about. We're about love. We're about bridging that love that we have for the Lord. And we've even started that group that Naomi is running, The Bridge, and Jeff. And working with people in the community and bringing community people in. Because Jesus said he's come to heal the sick and those that need help. And people were looking for him to come as a king to take over and rule. But that was not his course. And I want you to remember reconciling that God, Jesus, died for our sins, took the sins of the whole world. Can you imagine the weight of the sins of the whole world? Can you imagine that if every sin was like just an ounce for every person that ever lived and every person that might live, and how much that weighed, how much that would be on the cross? And you think of those 245 tons of locks on a bridge expressing love, that was nothing in comparison. Because God's love, by sending His only begotten Son, was everlasting and therefore never forgetting that He loved us that much. And because, why did He do all this? Because He's a righteous God and He wanted no one to perish but everyone to have everlasting life, and for an opportunity to be offered to everyone so that the gospel might go forth. There are many organizations out there that deal with just that. Spreading the good news, working, spreading the Lord's message of salvation, asking people to come to that saving knowledge of God. And you are His ambassadors. So you don't have to wait till January 20th to start your job. You can start your job today. You might have a friend or someone you know and you wanted to talk to, and you just say, you know what? I've been told by the assistant pastor I'm the ambassador for our church, and so I have to talk to somebody, so I'm talking to you, so just don't get angry at me. Get angry with Clarence Williams. He's the one that said I had to go do it, you know. And, you know, he was also picking on me about tailgating, too, and people tailgating me. So he's been picking on everybody today. So remember, because love, reconciliation, and because Christ so loved the world. And Christ on the cross, the weight of that sin on the cross says it all. It's unbelievable. When you think if you had to hold, when you're holding a baby for a long time, sometimes that baby gets heavy. Even if the baby's only like 9 or 10 pounds, it can get heavy. And then you're happy to have somebody hold that baby for you for a little time. Well, Jesus didn't have anybody to step in and take His place. He had the whole, that sin of the whole world on Him. And He said to His Father, "It is finished. It is done. I've taken on all the sin of the world. All sin is forgiven for those who trust in the Lord." Have you made that decision? Now's the day. Now's the time. The love that we have between human beings that does not last forever. Sometimes fights and arguments start. Just yesterday in Indiana, or 2 days ago in Indiana, a couple that were in love and going to get engaged, and she had broken up and gotten a restraining order, and she found a package on her door. She thought it was a Christmas gift that looked like a jewelry box and stuff. So she just grabbed it and took it to work with her. When she got to work and started to open it up, she discovered it was 2 pipe bombs. And her ex-boyfriend said, "Yeah, I did it. I'm crazy like that. I'm crazy in love with you." Well, God's not that crazy in love with you like that. God's crazy in love with you that He sent His Son to die for you, not to have somebody kill you. So that makes a big difference when we talk about that love. So if you remember nothing else today, when you go home, somebody asks you what the sermon was about, you can say LRBC, love, reconciliation, and because Christ's death on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. We pray and give thanks for Your perfect Son who was sinless and knew no sin, but took on the sin of the whole world that we might be forgiven. And it's in His name that we ask that You bless all the families this year, 2017. Grant them safety, provide a hedge of protection around them where they go, and provide for their health as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, may the Lord, from Jude 24 through 25, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And you are dismissed.
Thank you, Chance. I really enjoyed that sermon.
This won't stop.
Oh, I don't know how to stop it. I don't know how to do that.
Where's your dad? There's your dad. I keep pushing stop. It doesn't stop. Help you stop.
There. Hold.
So recorded the last time. I don't know why it doesn't stop.
It says hold on, so there must be a... Oh, this button has to be done, I think.